I remember the days when that thing used to scare me. We have come a long way. Seriously, it was like a year of that thing coming out of nowhere because we would be finishing the prayer and we're still like praying and I'm closing our eyes and then this thing comes out of nowhere. But I guess we're getting used to COVID and Zoom and all of that stuff. And by the way, I wasn't making it up. It really would scare me. So, thank you guys for coming again. This is our third week. Last week we were talking about Dina. Why don't you share what we're doing first, and then I'll go about that.
Okay. So for those of you, just a brief reminder of what we're doing here. We're going through books in the Old Testament and finding just areas that we can highlight through the Old Testament where it was very clear that the story here was about Jesus, that we were leading up to the story of the greatest plot that we find in the Bible, the greatest climax that you can find in mankind. And that is Jesus coming here on earth, living as a man, 100% man, 100% God, dying, being tortured and crucified and dying on the cross, resurrected, all for you and I. That is the story of the Bible from cover to cover. And because it's the story of the Bible from cover to cover, we can find all these amazing pictures of Jesus throughout the entire book. Every single book of the Bible gives us a picture or a hint or a little piece of what is about to come later on in the book. And it's done because the greatest author of all time wrote it. And that's God himself, Holy Spirit breathed is the word of God. And so what an incredible time for us as we celebrate Christmas, as we celebrate the Lord being here on earth, for us to start looking at those hints, those holy hints that we got all throughout the Word of God, showing us how he was about to come and this was about to happen. And Asam and I were talking about this today just as we were studying. It is just amazing that something written hundreds and hundreds of years prior could point to so specifically. I mean, we're going to go through some things in Psalms and read how the scripture references that they have in Isaiah today. There's a lot of really meaty stuff today, so we need to get to it. But it's just incredible how these things can reference so specifically to one another, even though they were written hundreds and hundreds of years apart. I mean, not even in the same, in some cases, not even in the same century. It's really miraculous, and we've been so encouraged by it. And it reminded me of something. It's a little story that I'll share with you all, and I'm just being very, I'm going to be very transparent with you, because we're family and I can do that. Okay. But have you ever had a moment in your life where, you might be questioning sort of God's existence in your life? Even as a person of faith, I've had those moments. And I remember maybe 15 years ago or so, we were going through a very, very tough financial time in our life. Assam had just started his business. I was just working at UCLA. I was really kind of just beginning in my job at UCLA. We had just had two children back to back, one that was a little bit of a surprise, and Grace, but what a beautiful surprise she was. And had just gotten into a house that we could not afford. Okay. So that was our current situation. And it was Christmas, and we did not really have much to eat. We were trying to figure out, like, how are we going to buy our kids pajamas? It's a big Egyptian thing to have new pajamas, for the holidays or whatever. We really didn't have money for pajamas. And I was in a moment just walking to my car because I had forgotten something in the car. And it was heavy on my heart, all that was happening. And I sort of lifted my eyes up to heaven. And I said, Lord, what are we going to do about this? That was all I said. And I opened the door of our van to look for this, you know, one of the kids' pacifiers or something that I thought I had like left in the van. And there was a stack of envelopes from our old apartment that somebody had picked up for us. You know, we had just moved into this like new house, or not just, it was like 6 months later. And I open it up, and one of the envelopes was a $1,400 check that the escrow company had mistakenly sent to our old address instead of our new, and it was an overpayment on our escrow closing. And a long story short is that that's what we're about to read here today. These little hints that show us that God is living and alive and is about to do something miraculous maybe aren't so clear in the Old Testament, but then they become very clear and tangible as we go through the whole story. And that was the truth in my life. And I imagine some of you might have similar stories where it was a hint of who he is, a hint that he is alive, a hint that he's present. And so let's read these things today with that as a reminder. Sorry to take up so much time. Fine. Go ahead.
No, this is great.
Okay.
You know, the idea here, like what we're hoping for, what we're praying for, that when we start reading the Old Testament again, in every chapter, you will find Jesus. Okay. In every story, in every miracle, in every communication, you will find Jesus. The thing is, you have to look for him. You know, before we read the Word of God, we have to search, Lord, where are you in this? Where are you in this situation? And how does it apply to my life? How can I apply this, you know, thousands of years later? How can I find this? You know, today I was reading a devotion for Max Lucado, one of the two. And they were talking about the people in the inn who, when Mary and Joseph went to, like, sorry, we have no place for you here, you know? And had they known that they are rejecting the King of Kings, they are rejecting the Messiah, they are rejecting God, because they're not in tune, you know, they're not there to look, they're not looking, you know, for that sign. They're looking for a Messiah, but they didn't expect the Messiah to be coming to them. And you know what? Every time you and I open the Bible, I have good news for you today. Are you guys ready for some amazing news? The Messiah is looking for you. God is looking for you. Amen. Every time you open that Bible, and in every single page, even if it's Marasi Armea. What's that?
Jeremiah.
No, the other one. Lamentation.
Lamentation.
Lamentation. Hey, even in Lamentation, you will find the Messiah. It's a book sometimes I question, like, why is this Lord, like, are you serious about this? You will find the Messiah. He's always looking for us. So today we'll start with the book of Ezra, and I'm just going to give you a couple of keys, literally this is in every single book. What we're doing, we're giving a drop out of an ocean, really, in every book we're going through. In the book of Ezra, okay, we're seeing here that the rebuilding of the temple, okay? So what happened is the people of Israel sinned, and they did what's evil in the sight of the Lord. So other nations came and they occupied them, they took them, they burned down the city, they burned down the walls, they burned down the temple, and took people into exile. Then we have someone by name Zerubbabel trying to come back and rebuild that temple. Zerubbabel wanted to bring the presence of God back to the nation of Israel. He wanted to bring the house of God back. He was hoping that prayers would start again. He was hoping that worship would start again. He was hoping that the word of God and the name of God would start again in the nation of Israel in a time that was very, very dark in the nation of Israel, especially those who are coming home. They want to sense the presence of God, especially those who were born and lived in a foreign country that never even heard about God. And you will find a lot of people like that in during the time Jesus came and during even our time right now, right? In John 2:18 it says, so the Jews said to him, what sign do you show us for doing these things? When Jesus was performing miracles, the Jews were opposing him. So they said, what signs do you show us for doing these things? Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. The Jews then said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking about the temple of his body. When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed in the scripture and in the word that Jesus had spoken. This is showing us that Jesus was given a picture of himself as that temple. He is bringing the presence of God back to the nation of Israel. He is bringing the spirituality back to Israel. Mm-hmm. He is bringing the presence of God wherever he went. The difference is that temple is in one place and everyone has to go to the temple, right? Jesus was that temple that was going from one place to another. He was going to Galilee and he was healing people and he was touching people and he was setting people free and he was healing from demons and stuff like that. He was going to Jerusalem doing the same thing. He was going to, you know, the Jordan. He was going everywhere to do that. He was transporting the presence of God wherever he went. And that we see that in the book, how important it was in the book of Ezra to rebuild the temple. In the book of Nehemiah, do you guys remember that book, Nehemiah? It took us maybe 2 to 3 weeks to cover it, something like that. And it was showing us how to rebuild the walls, right? And do you guys remember the gates? I mean, we took some time with those gates. The book of Nehemiah is speaking about someone who is separating. We're trying to build the walls to separate us, not to imprison us or jail us, but to keep us protected from the snares of the enemy, to keep us set apart and holy for the Lord. In 1 Peter 2, 5, 6, it says, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Talking like this is a picture of Jesus. Jesus is our protection. Jesus is what sets us apart from the world. Jesus what makes us holy and set apart for him. Building the gates was very important for Nehemiah. And if you remember, when they were building the gates, what did they do? They all got together. Okay, do you remember how the disciples got together and they were all in one spirit? They found the law. Remember when they were digging and fixing and rebuilding? They found the law, they found the book, they read the book, they repented, and then they found that there are festivals and there are all these great things. What happened during the time of Jesus when he came to set our hearts apart, to set us apart from the world? You know, we found rejoicing, we found the word of God, we found repentance, we found salvation, we found everything that we've been missing for many, many years before. Then the book of Esther, also a book we took a couple of weeks going through, we see Mordecai, you know, we see that the nation of Israel were about to be eliminated, you know, they're about to die. And Mordecai, someone who's done very well, he was very honest, he was loving, he was doing everything that he was supposed to do. He was about to lose his life. And at the last minute, God intervened. And the story that was supposed to be a disaster for the Jews, for all the nation of Israel, it became victor. And Haman, the person who was rejoicing over Mordecai, was the one that ended up losing everything. And Mordecai became the victorious one over his over Haman and his evil ways. But that came after fasting and praying and suffering, right? And that's the book of Esther.
Go ahead. So in the book of Esther and in the book of Job, we see the person, these people, similar to Boaz, as we spoke about in Ruth, that sort of picture or give us a picture, give us insight to Jesus, to who Jesus is. Again, those little holy hints that are all throughout the Bible that point right back to Jesus. In Job, as I mentioned, in Esther, we see Mordecai. In the book of Job, we see Job, right? Job suffered greatly, lost everything, lost his health, lost his family, lost his money. He had nothing, absolutely nothing. And really was at a place of complete and total suffering. And then God uses that, and he comes back at the end of the book of Job, and he has this incredible blessing. Well, the same is true, we can see in the story of Christ, right? He suffered greatly. He was separated from those he loved. He wondered where God was in this whole scenario. And then he is resurrected from the dead, and we see that blessing. Again, Job's life, only a little image that shows us what was to come in the life of Christ hundreds of years before. And then in Psalms, oh, there's so much, guys, in Psalms. So let's go through just a few key things in Psalms that'll show us Jesus. Sorry, we're going to go through a lot of scriptures, right? We already agreed that you wouldn't be upset with us about that from the beginning. But just if you have a pen, jot them down on your phone. You can always go back and kind of read them again and allow God to really show you who he is through these scriptures, not just so you have a head knowledge, but that he tackles and comes into our heart and shows us what he was trying to show the world through so many of these things. So we see in Psalm 2, verse 7, that the Messiah will be the Son of God. In Psalm 16, 8 through 10, we see that the Messiah will be resurrected. Listen to this. In Psalm 16, verse 10, it says, "Because you will not abandon me to the realm of death, nor will you let your faithful one see decay." That's in Psalm 16, 10. Now let's go into Acts 13, 30. Listen to this. It says, "But God raised him from the dead, and for many days he was seen by those who had traveled with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, and they are now witnesses to all the people. We tell the good news. What God promised our ancestors has been fulfilled to us, their children, by the raising up of Jesus Christ, as it is written in Psalms, 'You are my son. Today I become your father.' God raised him from the dead so that he would never be subject to decay." I mean, very specific. My goodness, these scriptures, again, so long ago, written about something that happens word for word, verbatim. In Psalm 22:6-8, it says the Messiah would be despised and crucified. And this is what it says: "But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults at me, shake their heads, and say, 'He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him.'" Mocking, mockery, sarcasm. Does that sound familiar? I'll tell you where you can find some sarcasm. In Luke 23, it says, "But they kept shouting, 'Crucify him, crucify him.' For the third time he spoke to them, 'Why? What crime has this man committed? I have found him no grounds for death, for the death penalty. Therefore, I will put him punished and then release him.' But they shouted insistently, demanding that he be crucified, and their shouts prevailed." I mean, truly the same thing we see in Psalms as we see in Luke 23. It's just a profession in Psalms of what's about to happen. We also see that the Messiah would be hated without cause. We see that in Psalms 69 verse 4, and you can see the reference to that again in Luke 23. And then we see here in Psalms 118 verse 22, it says the Messiah would be the stone rejected by the Jews. Let me read it to you. Psalm 118, 22, it says, the stone that the builder rejected has become the cornerstone. If we go to Matthew, verse 21, 42 through 43, it says this. It says, Jesus said to them, have you never read the scripture? The stone the builder rejected has become the cornerstone. Jesus basically recites these scriptures to them in many cases from the Old Testament, because he knew it so well, to say to them, hey, that's what they were talking about. That's me. I'm the one who's here. And it's just, I was thinking about this as we were reading this today and studying it, how hard their hearts have to be. These were people that had learned the word of God, memorized it, in many cases had to memorize it because there weren't that many written copies. They had to pass it around from one person to another if that person could read to begin with. And here they were so diligent in learning God's word, putting it in their heart, that the process of putting God's word in their heart became what they worshiped, instead of the word itself that was intended to help open their eyes. Can you imagine if somebody's been giving you clues for 2,000 years, one clue after another clue after another clue, and writing it down and making sure it was inscribed? And then finally, you get to the place where the secret is about to be revealed. The great mystery is about to be revealed. And they're like, hey, by the way, look at all these clues from thousands and thousands of years ago. And you're like, nah, that's not it. I mean, it would be very hard. When we're reading it here today, it really brings chills up and down my spine to read some of the words, word for word, what would happen to Jesus, what would be spoken about him.
Then we're going to jump into the book of Isaiah. Are you guys ready? Because the book of Isaiah is very much like the fifth gospel. Like if you read the book of Isaiah, we're going to read a few things. We're going to read the verses. And if you want to write it down, we're going to email it after as well. So you guys have these references.
Yes, and we will this time, I promise. Yeah.
So we see in the book of Isaiah is that the Messiah, this is written about 700 years before Jesus came. Okay, so this wasn't written like 5, 6 years, 10 years, 700 years, right? So please keep that in mind. In Isaiah 7, so the first thing we see here is that the Messiah would be born of a virgin, all right? In Isaiah 7:14, it says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and he will call him Emmanuel. In Luke 1:34, it says, how will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a what?
A virgin.
The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. God is working on something. Listen, when it was man and man, when it was a husband and wife, when it was man and woman, we gave you great kings. King David, King Solomon, King Josiah, we gave you amazing prophets. We gave you Isaiah. We gave you Jeremiah. We gave you great judges. We gave you Gideon. We gave you great leaders like Moses and all of that. But right now, there has to be someone, and please listen to me, has to be someone that gets involved directly with your salvation. We're talking about your eternal life. We're not talking about someone who's going to win you a battle against the Amalekites or the Palestinians or the Egyptians or the Jordanians or the Ecuadorians or the Mexicans or the Egypt. No, we're talking about someone who is going to win the battle of your life. So God has to be involved, right? This new being, this new Messiah has to be part man to show you and me how it's done. But it will also be part God, because only God can orchestrate this, and only God can give salvation to all of us. So in the book of Isaiah, they believed hundreds of years before Jesus came that the Messiah cannot be all man. The Messiah has to be born from a virgin. The Messiah is also called Emmanuel. God is with us. During that time, during Isaiah, they're looking, they're desperate, they need someone. During the Romans' time, they are so desperate. They all felt like God just left them. Okay? The same verse in Isaiah 7:14, it says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give a birth to a son. He will be called what? Emmanuel, which means God is with us. In Matthew 1:22, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. If you feel like God has left you, I'm going to tell you this right now. It's a lie. God has never left us. Even when we left God. You know, a lot of times when I was younger and I preach, I would say, God never left us, but we left God, right? But you know what? Even when we left God, God has never left us. Because even if we are unfaithful, God remains faithful. During that time, they needed God to be with them. They didn't sense the presence of God. They didn't see the presence of God. During the time of Roman, Jesus had to come. Jesus was referenced at that time, and Jesus is referenced during the Romans' time, and Jesus is referenced here today as well. The Messiah would be God and a man at the same exact time. Lahotu. What's Lahotu? Divine?
His deity.
Deity never left, and his being full man. Nasotu.
Humanity
also never left him. It's all together at the same time. In Isaiah 9:6, it says, for us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. What are you talking about? A son, a child? Yeah, that's why we celebrate Christmas. Have you heard the angels when they were singing? You look at a child, you look at this little boy, and all you see is this very helpless, small little creature, right? Can't even feed himself, can't even do anything. But this child has already the calling of God, has already the government, the control on him, on his shoulders, and then he will be wonderful in everything he does. He will counselor so many. He will be mighty in everything that he does. He will show might. And then he is Everlasting Father, a Prince of Peace. In John 10:30, it says, I and the Father are one. You know, I and the Father are one. Jesus is talking about the Trinity, talking about him and the Father being one. Isaiah was talking about this 700 years before. So if you are seeking Jesus, if you're seeking God, you need to first go through who? Through Jesus. Mm-hmm. You need to see what Jesus did for you and for me on the cross. We need to see and accept his complete work. We need to come to the cross confessing that we sinned and this was our place. And he took that place because he is the only way to God. Amen?
Amen.
The Messiah will have the Spirit on him, the Spirit of God on him. In Isaiah 11:2, listen to this. Isaiah 11:2, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of God. In Matthew 3:16 and 17, it says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and aligning on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Jesus did everything while he was in the Spirit. The Spirit did not leave him for a second. He was filled with the Spirit of God. When they wanted to anoint him as a king, he said, no, that's not my time. When they rejected him, he lived there, not feeling bad or sorry for himself, but he lived there and he went to another place, healing people and blessing people and loving people. Here it is, 700 years later, those prophecies were fulfilled. The Messiah would go around, do good and heal people. In Isaiah 35, it says, 35:5, then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. I mean, it's talking about the Messiah going around and performing miracles. And there is not one reference I can give you, but I can give you four references. Matthew, Luke, John, and Mark. These are my four references. Go back and read them, and you will see what the verse here in Isaiah 35:5 talks about. He was literally going around. If you're blind and you're in his presence, you're going to see. If you're deaf, if you're lame, if you have anything that you're struggling with, you will have healing. 700 years later, this prophecy was fulfilled. Till this day, this prophecy is being fulfilled. We can witness that this happened in our own church. Yes, God still physically heals people. Do you guys believe in that, or do you think this was, you know, because I believe in it. I believe in it. I believe it was happening, you know, 2,700 years ago. I believe it was happening long, long time ago. I believe it was happening when Jesus was around. And I believe that it's still happening till this day. I believe that water will gush and water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. I believe that God's still performing miracles. This story that Dina just told you, $1,400 during that time was truly a treasure.
Could have been a million.
It could have been, it was truly a treasure. It wasn't just about the two pajamas that were like cost $20 or $30. It was like we literally did not have money to buy food for the kids and for us. Like we were that broke. You know, it was a miracle. This came out of nowhere. God still performs miracles. God healed my shoulder at Arise. You know, many times we prayed for so many things when we were sick or something happened. That a lot of you guys were around in 2020, November of 2020, where we thought we lost Elijah. I was in the hospital. I was in the surgery room with him where they were calling colors, you know, codes and stuff like that. He, as soon as they took the thing out of the breathing tube out of his mouth, he stopped breathing. He couldn't breathe. They were trying to
resuscitate.
That word. We almost lost him. Seven doctors in one little room, two nurses, and they were trying to get me out of the room because it was chaos. And I said, I'm gonna sit in the corner. You can bring the whole United States Army. They're not going to be able to move me out of this room. I promise you I'm not going to do anything other than I'm just going to sit in that corner and pray. And all I did, I bowed my head and I asked for God to come and heal this child. I asked for God to come while they're going crazy. Seven doctors, two nurses at one of the most powerful hospitals in that country. And God came and healed him and gave him his breath again. And here he is. If you weren't with us earlier today, Elijah just got accepted to Vanderbilt today. Here he is, like was jumping around, running in the street for like half an hour. We couldn't catch him. Here he is. A few days later, Dina was in the hospital with very much internal poisoning.
Infection
that was going to turn into poisoning. She was in the hospital for 7 days. A lot of you were there and present, and we asked for God to heal, and God did heal. Miracles do happen until this day.
Amen.
And the reason why they happen is because God is with us. Mm-hmm. The reason why they happen, because God's heart is on for your healing and my healing. Mm-hmm. God's heart is for your deliverance and my deliverance as well. And also it tells us in Isaiah that there will be someone coming to witness about Jesus. And this is really dear to my heart. Someone will be coming to witness about Jesus before Jesus comes. In Isaiah 43, it says, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. In Luke 1:17, okay, listen to this. And he will be on, we're talking about John, okay? The angel says, he will go on before the Lord in the spirit of power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteousness, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. This is someone's, his position was to plow the road, to make known that the Messiah is coming. You know, I love John the Baptist. He's like really, really one of my favorite people. Like, I can't wait to meet this guy. Really, he's amazing. But what I like the most about him is what I like to do in my life, what I like to be one day. I want to get to that place where I am plowing the road. I am preparing the way, because I know God is ready to visit every single soul I meet. Every single person I meet during my day, during anywhere, wherever, if I'm at church, I'm at work, I'm at Costco, anywhere, I know that God is ready to meet that person. And I just want to prepare the way. I want to be that voice. I just want to be the one that points the finger and say, there he is. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I know I'm taking a little bit too long, guys. But Isaiah is like the gospel, okay? It's like the, so we'll move on really quick. The Messiah will be the light, not just to the Jews, but to the whole world. And at that time, we're known as the Gentiles. In Isaiah 42:6, it says, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and light for the Gentiles. In John 8:12, it says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have light of life. In John 4, we see a whole story. God is reaching out to who? To the Samaritan woman, right? It was back in the days, he was known as the God, Jehovah was known as the God of who? God of Israel, right? So all of us here had no place. Or as they communicated to everyone, you have no place. But Isaiah here is telling us that he will reach out. He will make a covenant, not just with the Jews as he made a covenant with Abraham. He wants to make a covenant with all of us. And then we see here Jesus making it very, very clear that I am light of the world. I am here for everyone. I am not here. I'm not just here for a specific group of people. I'm here for them, but I'm also here for everyone who listens to me. We see and we know that the Messiah in Isaiah, what time is it? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to skip a couple of things. We see that the Messiah was rejected by the Jewish nation. We see that in Isaiah 49:7. We also see it in John 10:20 and Matthew 27. We see that the Messiah would be whipped and beaten. Go read Isaiah 53. It very much talks about that. Also read Matthew 26 and 27. It talks about that. In Isaiah talks about the Messiah being resurrected and living forever. Isaiah 53:10 and then Mark 16:6. You can compare these two. The reason why we're going through this as well, as we said, these were things that were written and spoken thousands and hundreds of years apart from each other. And they're still coming. They still came to life. And they're still coming to life to this day. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus is around and he is ready to be found. He is calling. It's are we listening to him? The last couple of days, I found this amazing song that someone sent me, and I have been listening. And if you know me, when I get a new song, Nina's laughing. When I hear a new song, I literally listen to it for maybe a month. I'm not exaggerating.
He is not exaggerating.
I have it on repeat, and I listen to it for maybe like a month. That's me. That's what I do. So the last few days, I've been listening to this song, and instead of listening to it in the speaker at like, you know, early in the morning, because I want to blast it. You know, I want the volume to be really loud. And I can't do that early in the morning at 4:30 because people are still asleep. I don't know why, but people are asleep at 4:30 in the morning. It's strange. Anyway, so I have my headphones on and I have my beanie and I have my hoodie as well. That's how I work out. Beanie and hoodie, headphones, blasting music, lifting weight. Dina comes in and she's talking to me and I have no idea what she's saying. She's behind me. I can't see her. And she's, I don't know what she was saying, but I'm like in my song with my weights, hoodie and beanie and everything. There is no way. She can tell me that she'll give me $1 million. She can tell me she will make me any meal that I want. I have no idea what she's saying. She comes closer to me and she does this because I'm giving my back to her. And she's like, I have been here for 5 minutes. You're not paying attention to me. The whole thing is my ears are blocked with something that I'm listening to. My eyes are somewhere else. It never removed the fact that Dina was in the room and Dina's been speaking and Dina wants to communicate with me. It just, my ears are completely blocked. You know, God's still speaking till this day. God's still healing till this day. God's still showing miracles till this day. God is doing things and will keep doing things over and over and over. Problem is, we have our headphones, we have our beanies, we have our attention directed somewhere else, and it's so hard for us to listen or to see see the great things that he has for us.
Amen.
I think I'm going to leave it here. And sorry for taking a little too long. It was Dina's fault. She definitely took much longer in her parts. She wasn't supposed to go that long, but you know. Any questions, any additions? I know that all of you have a lot to say about all of this. So please, please, please don't let me speak again for the next 12 to 15 minutes.
I just wanted to say something real quick, and I'm so glad you brought up this whole healing thing, Alsan, because there are people, you know, here today and people that have been asking me for us to pray for, and I think it would be the opportune time for us to do that. And you know what, if as a group, as a body of Christ, it would be great for us to continue to lift them up until God intervenes in their life. And Maria, if it's okay. Yeah, we want to, we'll pray for you, Maria. And I know that Soraya also has been experiencing like swelling in her fingers. Okay, I'm just explaining. And then also Guillermo, if you remember him. Wow. Do you remember Guillermo? So he has an infection in his bones. And has been in and out of the hospital. Leticia is asking that we pray for them as well. So I'll just, whoever has anything to say, but before, you know, we finish, if we can just take a few minutes, pray for Soraya and Maria and other people. Guillermo, anyone else that needs prayer?
That's so good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Anybody have anything else to talk about or share or point out? Okay. All right. Well, Dalia, I guess that means you have more time to pray.
That's a cool thing. I love that.
Yes, I love that.
Let's do it.
Before we pray, and let's just all really believe what it's. I saw that picture of you in the morning. Really, no one could quite understand it as much as I do. But it's true. He's got his worship song on. He's just in it. You know, there's something going on around him, but he just doesn't realize it. And the reality is that God is after our healing. God is after performing miracles in our life. He's ready for it, but we've just got our ears plugged up and sometimes not ready for it. So let's unplug and let's focus on the Spirit. God is here. God is in this virtual space that we're in, wherever you are. And can meet us there. Next week, the last week of this, right before Christmas, we're going to talk about, we're going to go through the prophets and several of the prophets. There's so much there as well for us to see about Jesus and about who he is and his coming. And so with that, let's collectively pray. And if anybody would like to pray before Dalia, please feel free to pray, and then Dalia will pray and close us off at the same time.
If I can just say, just as a reminder, one of my favorite verses, one, you know, I meditate on, I love God's word, and there's so much that we hold on, so much promises and of his faithfulness and his goodness. And check this one out. It says, he sent forth his word to heal. And to save us from destruction. You know, God's word isn't there to give us goosebumps and, you know, we say, oh, how good, and you know, go about our day. God's word is to build our faith. It's there to raise something on the end. God is so good because what he says is, if you have faith as what? Little as a mustard seed. That's all that is required of us. You can move mountains. So do we dare to trust God and believe in his promises for us, and even to say that at this moment, God can do the incredible? God has options. There is times where he takes us through a process of healing, and there are other times where we can see the miraculous right here and then. I can't put God in a box and label him, you know, one or the other. I need to allow my faith to increase day by day and to trust him for the impossible. Our God is bigger than this. And sometimes we make this much bigger than God. You know, we think he has to, you know, just fall in a certain category and that's it. But dare to believe for the big things. And God is ready to meet us there. And so.
Yeah. He's saying this. I'm reminded of the story where the man had the son who was sick for many years. And the Lord Jesus said to him, you know, do you have faith? And the man said, Lord, I do believe, but I want you to help my unbelief. Why? Because he had seen his son struggle for so long. It's hard for him to unsee that. It's hard for him to imagine anything other than that. And sometimes we go through a situation, a circumstance, a health issue that's been going on for so long. It's hard for us to see anything other than that. And sometimes that obstacle, that mountain, that giant becomes even bigger than what we view God to be. And so I think, you know, by Jesus honoring this particular man by saying to him, your son is healed basically because of your faith, even though his faith wavered, but the fact that his faith was even directed in the right place, the Lord honored that faith. So like Dalia was saying, even as little as a mustard seed. And so just being completely honest with the Lord, not just blanketly saying, yes, Lord, I believe, but like, I believe and I'm struggling with this. Help me with it. But yes, Lord, I want to have this. I want to have this faith. I want to have this direction. I want to have this sense of expectation because nothing is impossible for you.
There's something else. I'm just going to share.
That's okay. Go for it.
Something else that I've been kind of meditating on for us, because, you know, we wait for God to bring healing for other people. And sometimes we get lost in the idea that we have so much love for this person. God's been kind of reminding me that you know, the story of Mary and Martha when they sent to Jesus, come. I love the words that were being spoken, you know, go tell Jesus the one you love is sick. She never said, my brother or the one that I love is sick. She said, the one you love. And that brings me so much encouragement. I think, you know, God has given us so much love for the family and the people that are around us that we care. And sometimes, you know, any mom can relate to this. Like, we're ready to give our eyes to our children because we care for them so much. That love that we have comes from God himself. Yes. Right? But when I think of people that I'm lifting up before God, I'm like, yeah, I do love them. But God, your love for them is far greater than the love that I have. So in the process of me waiting for you to intervene, help me to realize, help me to understand that it's your love that I rely on, not my love for them. I'm relying on your love for them. That's what keeps me going. That's what keeps me strong, because my love wavers. My love is shaky. My love is not stable. It's, you know, but what you have, I can build on. It's a firm foundation. And so as we're trusting God, whether it's for our own, you know, health, our own well-being, or on behalf of somebody else, we're trusting in a love that is unshakable and unmovable. And think about this. If he died the way that he did, he gave his utmost on the cross. Think, what else will he not do? If he already gave his everything on the cross, anything after that is, you know, there is nothing that can compare. He's done it all at that point. So will he keep anything else from me that belongs to me? No. So I need to trust God and believe. That's it.
Amen. So good. Preach it, that is good.
So let's just pray, you know, open it up. And then if it's on your heart to you spend some time in praying for someone, whether it's here or anyone, anywhere else, let's take time and I'll close it after a few minutes. But please, as many as would love to pray, please go ahead.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your word. Your word came and healed us. Your word came and encouraged us. Your word came and gave us confidence. Your word came and gave us light that you are with us, that you are here, you are near, you're not too far. Your word that we just heard right now, that you love us so, so much, that we are so dear to your heart, that you, Lord, chose to come to this earth, Lord, live here for 33 years, Lord, poor and broken and betrayed and going through one thing after another, Lord, all of that to go to the cross to show us how much you love us. Lord, we thank you because we learned that in your word, Lord, and we come before you today. So thankful for that word. So thankful for loving us. So thankful for your presence today, Lord. We don't have to build a temple. We don't have to, Lord, to be in one specific place, but you're coming to us everywhere. We're sitting here in different cities, Lord, but your spirit is coming to us, Lord. And when we gather around you, like your children Sunday morning, you're there welcoming us, loving us, Lord, talking to us, encouraging us, and setting us up for another week, Lord. Lord, I pray today in Jesus' mighty name that you would prepare the hearts of those who are in need for a physical touch, Lord, because we know you're ready. We know you're ready to heal. We know you're ready, Lord, to touch you. You know you're ready to restore, Lord. So I am praying for my sisters today, Lord, and I'm praying for my brother, Guillermo, Lord. I'm praying for my sister, Maria, and my sister, Soraya. I'm praying for the households, Lord. I'm praying for everyone who's in need of your physical for a physical touch, Lord, for a touch from you for healing, Lord. I pray that you would prepare their heart, and I pray that you would speak to them. I pray that you would fill them with your peace that surpasses all understanding, Lord, that they would see that you are still around. You're still here, Lord. Even if the sickness is still here, that they would keep carrying on, Lord, that we wouldn't stop praying, that we will keep praying until something happens, Lord, because we know that you're at work. We know that you're always working. We know that you're never take a day off. So we're calling on your name right now. Lord, we are putting you on the in the spotlight right now. When we're asking mm-hmm. you to take control, we're asking you to come and heal and touch and restore and give peace in Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' name.
Father, we just thank you for the mighty work of the cross.
Yes, hallelujah.
Father, we thank you that you are forever faithful and forever true, that you do not change, God. And we dare to believe that you are our healer even now. We thank you, Father, that those, your word says that all who touched you were made well, that you looked beyond the sea of people there and you were moved with much compassion and you healed all who were sick. That is your word, God. We know that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, and you do not change. So we dare to believe, we dare to stand on your promises and your faithfulness and your goodness. You said, if two or three agree together in my name, touching anything, that it will be done. And so together as one body, we come together on behalf of our brother and sisters, Father, on behalf of those that are sick and need a healing touch from you, Father. We ask in the mighty name of Jesus, your healing virtuous power to just to flow through their body, God. Every person, different needs, different healings that need to take place, God. So we speak to the root of the problem even now in every circumstance and situation, God, with the authority that we have in the name of Jesus. We command every sickness, every disease to bow at the foot of the cross, and we release your word, God. You said you release your word and to bring healing, to bring victory into our life. And so we align ourselves to your word, God, and we take that authority and we speak forth your word upon the lives of your people, God. And we ask in the mighty name of Jesus, God, that your name and your name alone be glorified in every circumstance and every situation, Father. Your kids, the one whom you love, your children, the one that you've called by name, the ones that you've known them even before their conception, Father, we ask in your holy name, touch them now. Your healing virtuous power over them now. Soraya, Maria, we lift up Guillermo. We lift up my father-in-law before you, God. Anyone else that needs a healing touch from you, would you please touch? Would you please intervene, and may your name be glorified, God. We believe, and we thank you for your healing.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Wow, what a powerful meeting there tonight, everybody. Thank you so much for coming and for being here, and we will see you next week.
Sounds good.
Thank you, guys.
Hope it was okay. I put you on the spot, Maria and Soraya. I didn't even take permission, but I hope it's okay.
No worries.
Thank you. It's good to see you guys.
Bye. Okay. Bye. Thank you.
Good night, guys.
Good night.
Thank you, guys.